I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to talk about today, Sean?
Okay, so today is going to be like a little different than our normal episodes. You and I, here's my thought. You and I have been talking a lot about like, oh, I bought this new piece of equipment, but like I'm not ready to recommend it yet because I haven't used it. Or, oh, I'm thinking about upgrading this piece of equipment. So like I thought today we could take all of the new things that we have been buying and trying and testing, and we could like give a rundown of what we like, what we don't like, what new gear we're using, what we've sent back, that sort of stuff.
Okay. I guess I'll give a disclaimer at the beginning of this one and just say, not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor yet. Although, yet. Advertisers, if you're listening, please reach out. We would love to have a sponsor. Yeah, okay,
or, good call. Or any of these companies or brands that we may bring up. Or if you are a competitor to any of these brands or things, look us up. We will try your stuff.
Absolutely, we'll try your stuff. Look, yeah. I am always looking for, like, yeah. I love the latest and greatest, right? Love it.
Yep.
Also, I'm super cheap. So if you want to send me a free one to try, I'm happy to try it.
or even discount it. I would even take a discount for a name drop or something.
Now, here's the other thing that I will say. So I know we've been talking about it for the last couple of episodes, but you and I do have a new website. The new website is SeanMikeHike.com. A lot of the gear that is not sponsored, but a lot of the gear that you and I talk about in these episodes, we have posted links to the specific gear that we're talking about on our website. We are going to continue to do that. So if you want to see what gear specifically we're talking about, or you can't find it by a quick Google search, go to our website, SeanMikeHike.com. I have an entire gear page on there for the different things that we talk about that we recommend. Right. So,
where do you want to start?
What do we want to start with? So it's all going to be gear. It's a little bit of a hodgepodge because there's not necessarily a theme to this other than like it's new things that we've bought. So, let's maybe start with, I'm just going to pick something that I'm looking at my pack that it's got in it right now. So let's talk about our sleeping pads. Let's start with that.
Okay.
You and I have both upgraded our sleeping pads since we started this podcast. We've talked about pads in other episodes. Let's talk about what we got now. What made us upgrade? Do we like the upgrade? Do we wish we wouldn't have upgraded? Let's go with that. So
okay.
What pad do you have? This is one of those pieces of equipment that you and I happen to have the same one of, even though
and
we
have
both
since
independently
we
upgraded.
Right, and have since we started. Well, I think with the first one, I bought the first, I think both times I bought and was like, I really like it. And then you followed suit, and then we were like, we both fucking hate it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. That's okay.
The new one is, I believe the brand is Therm-a-Rest.
Yep.
It is, I don't know the model off the top of my head, but it is a red.
Pro Light Plus.
There you go. It is an insulated, self-inflating sleeping pad. It does not fold up nearly as small as the old one.
Correct.
It is a lot bigger. It is a bit heavier, but I don't wake up on the ground.
I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite things that I upgraded.
And I will say this, because it's insulated, I don't feel the cold from the ground.
Correct. So you don't wake up on the ground anymore. It is theoretically self-inflating. So it's got like a foam core to the sleeping pad that like when you unroll it and open all the valves, like everybody's familiar with like a foam sleeping pad, but like, you know how foam, like once you take it out of like a Ziploc bag or whatever, like how it kind of like puffs up on its own. This pad does the same type of thing. So when you have it
right
with all the valves open, it sucks some air in on its own. Now, me, Sean, I still add a couple more breaths to it.
Oh, yeah.
Just to firm it up a little bit. But I have found I don't like blowing it up like as full as it will go. I like some of the give to it.
But I like a firm mattress, so I always
I always thought I liked a firm mattress, but have you, Mike, tried not blowing it up all the way? Try not blowing it up all the way. It is a world of difference. Like,
didn't know that was an option.
Yeah. Don't blow it up all the way. Like, let it self-inflate. Maybe add a couple extra breaths to it, but let it have a little bit of give. Well, but then, again, I'm a side sleeper and you're not a side sleeper, so maybe it is different for you. But, like, I notice it is way more comfortable not inflated to the max.
Okay. I will try that on our next trip.
I will say things I like about this new one. Even though it is not nearly as small packed up as the last one, it does come with a compression sack. It does pack down small enough that it's not necessarily in the way. It is a little bit heavier.
Right.
So the box that we got it in says it's 1 pound, 7 ounces, which is significantly heavier than our old one, which was like 2 ounces.
Right.
For me, the comfort of this new one is worth the extra pound.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Here's another thing I like about this one, made in the USA. If you're listening abroad, maybe that's not a big selling point for you. If you're a USA-based listener, that might be a selling point for you. This one is made in the USA, which is, for me, a big selling point. So
yeah, I prefer supporting local.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a great sleeping pad. The old ones, the old ones were, they were what they were. They were an air mattress, right? Like, you blow it up, it's an air mattress, it is what it is.
Right, right.
Cheap-ass vinyl, typically got a hole in it.
See, I don't think I had the as negative experience as you had, other than, like, my first one, my pump died, your pump didn't die, but it was still, you're standing there pumping on it.
Yep.
Like, so we had the one that the pump was in the pillow. It's just a weird setup. My pump died, so I had to blow it up by air. Turns out it took like 12 breaths. It wasn't that hard.
Sure.
And then, so we got a different one and about the same thing, about 12 breaths to blow it up. Yours seemed to leak a lot more than mine did.
Yep.
But
I think I tossed and turned a lot, in all fairness. I do think I tossed and turned a lot.
But I woke up, like, you're still a little bit cold because you got just air. It's not, you don't have any insulation or anything like that. So,
especially on this last trip we took, where like it was cold and wet at night.
And wet.
I was not nearly as cold on this new air mattress because it does insulate you from the ground way better than the other one did.
I was cold. I was wet. But,
well, you were cold and wet for other reasons, not air mattress related, though.
Not air mattress reasons. Everything on this trip got wet for me. But I will, for mine, my next thing, if you're ready to move on, I don't know if you're.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, there's not much more to say. It's a sleeping pad at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But, like, this new one, highly recommend.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Having used it for a couple of trips now. Love it.
Yeah.
I really love it.
For sure.
Packs back up easy enough. The two-way valve on it is great. It's a little bit hard to get it back in the cinch sack. Like, you kind of have to really get all the air out of it.
Yeah.
But, like, once you figure out how to do it, not the hardest thing.
Not the hardest thing in the world. And I think it's worth the extra weight, in my opinion.
I think so, too. 100%.
Yeah. And the extra bulk.
Yeah.
The next thing that I was going to say on this one is my pillowcase.
Mm.
Just to go along with the sleeping pad thing, we take a separate pillow.
I have been dying to hear your review of your pillowcase. You mentioned it like a dozen episodes ago. I keep telling you, like, save it. Don't tell me. We'll do an update. Yeah. Tell me about it. What do you think?
I'm in love with it. Like, I absolutely love it.
It's a pillowcase.
I know it's a pillowcase, but like your face isn't right on the plastic or on the whatever of your
vinyl, like, or whatever they're made
vinyl
out of.
Pillow, yeah. Or whatever. So your face isn't right along that. If for some reason your pillow gets a hole in it, whatever, and your pillow's you can throw a hoodie in there, sweatshirt, t-shirt, like whatever.
Okay.
You can just crumple that up and you can make a pillow out of that.
Okay.
I drool in my sleep. It's super sexy. So I don't have to worry about cleaning the actual pillow so much as I do just like throw the pillowcase in the washer when I get back. Like, so many positives of this pillowcase. It weighs nothing. It takes up no space.
Well, and that's...
It's beautiful.
That's what I thought when you first said it. I'm like, this is dumb. What are you doing? But then you had mentioned, like, it doesn't take any space. It weighs basically nothing. And I can see... So I'm not necessarily a drooler. Maybe when I've been drinking. And let's face it, we drink when we're out on the trail. But...
Right.
I'm not necessarily a drooler, so that part doesn't super appeal to me, but the not having my face on the vinyl pillow, that part was the part I was like, well, okay, I can kind of see that, because you know, you wake up with like that sweaty side of the face from being on the vinyl. If a pillowcase that weighs nothing and takes no room would take care of that, I don't know.
No, I'm super glad I have it. I might buy a backup just in case I lose it, because I've lost gear in the past. So, but it's Therm-a-Rest brand. It's the same brand as our sleeping bag.
Okay.
So it's meant for backpacking. It's all that. It's
like the right size. It's not just like a regular pillowcase that you're trying to fit on. Yep. Okay.
It's a compact. It fits our pillows pretty perfectly. So, which are pillows that came with the damn sleeping pad that we don't use anymore.
Sure.
Love the pillow.
Right.
Don't like the sleeping pad.
I'll be honest, I don't love our pillows. Like, I have been looking for an alternative pillow. So, if anybody listening has a good backpacking pillow, please email us and recommend something. Because, like, I don't love the pillow. Maybe if I was a back sleeper, maybe it would be fine as a side sleeper. I don't love our pillow. But anyway, pillowcase, you're sold on.
Yeah,
you're a yes on the pillowcase.
Very much so.
Okay.
It was maybe $11. Might be more now. I bought a year ago, but like it was maybe $11.
I mean, that seems expensive for what it is, but okay, fine, whatever. That's your piece of luxury. Good for you. Okay, so the next thing, and I know I'm kind of going two in a row, other than like I brought that last one up, because just kind of was adjacent to that one.
It went.
So the next thing that I want to talk about is kind of a big one, and this might be a little bit of a conversation, but let's talk about the Bear Vault.
Oh.
So when you and I started, and in past episodes, we have talked about our bear bags that we have taken. And I liked our bear bags.
Which,
in all fairness, I mean, I really liked my bear bag. I liked your bear bag. I thought it was fine. You and I went into an area recently, this year, that with our research, which do your own research on where you're going to figure out whether you need a bear bag or a bear vault, the place we were going highly recommended, did not require, but highly recommended a bear vault instead of a bear bag.
Well, and that was the campsite that we were actually staying at. That wasn't even the dispersed areas where, who knows?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I guess for those that have listened, one of our overnight hikes, or the only overnight hike earlier this year, I had a bear canister. Like, I don't remember the brand. It's the tall orange thing. I might have mentioned the brand in that episode. It was fine. It was tapered. I didn't really care for it, and the only reason why I personally didn't care for it is that it's tapered. It didn't fit the stuff that I wanted, necessarily, it had three screws to screw the lid on. That so you either needed to have. Fortunately, my wallet has like a little. It's a Travax wallet, not a sponsor. has like a little screwdriver type thing on the end of it, so it was easy to get the screws off. But they had washers that kept falling off. It had
right.
like all sorts of stuff. It was tall enough to be used as a stool. So if you didn't want to take a chair or anything like that, you could sit on it.
I remember when you got it, before you had actually used it, when you got it, you told me, I think I'm really going to like it. It's tall enough. You can use it as a seat. I don't got to take a chair. It's a good size. It fits in my pack. All my stuff fits in it. It seems like it's going to be pretty good. I remember you saying that to me before you used it.
Yep.
That weekend, we went on a trip, and you said, I don't know if I'm going to keep this. It's got all these little parts that you got to unscrew. It's not real easy to get open. There's parts that can fall off that I feel like I'm going to lose.
Yeah. Well, and I did. Like, actually, the night we recorded an episode that is lost to the ether now, I lost a part to that bear canister.
Yeah.
Found it in the morning by happenstance. But found that part, and I think it was actually at the bottom of the bear vault. Might have found it when I got home. But regardless, all these tiny little parts, it just was not for me. So like it was too much worry for what it was worth.
And I know we're not saying the brand, so I'm not too concerned with like giving it a negative review or any of that sort of stuff, but like,
right.
To the canister's credit, I do feel like it would have been effective. Like,
I could barely get into the damn thing.
Like, so I do think if that's the style you went with, without naming the brand, as long as you had all the pieces and parts and could keep track of all the pieces and parts, I do feel like it would have been effective. So I don't want to say anything about the functionality of it. That's negative. No. Just user usability, maybe not so great.
And my preference, like that's personally my preference of like, because you didn't have one at the time. You I think you shoved your stuff in my canister.
I did shove my stuff in your canister for the night. Yep.
For that night. And so like, that was just like my preference of like, I don't have to have to use a certain tool to like tighten this up enough or to loosen it up. I don't know. It just seemed like more effort than what it was worth.
Yeah.
In my opinion, knowing that there are other options out there. This was just one that happened to be at the local store that I have. And I was like, okay, I'll see what they got. That was what they had. I'm going to give it a shot.
Right.
So
that was like a last minute purchase. That was a oh shit, they're recommending bear vaults and we don't have time to order one, so let's get this one at the local store.
Right.
And again, so, when you first bought it, I remember you coming home and being like, yeah, this seems great. Like
it fits really in the cool. pack. Yeah.
It's like a good spot for, you know, like it had its pros for sure.
Definitely has its pros.
But then after the very first trip, it was like, I don't know about this one. So you wound up returning that.
I did. Yep. I returned it. Thankfully, no questions asked.
Yep.
It had all the parts. It had been used, but at the same time, it wasn't satisfied.
It was within the return policy, so it's fine.
Right. So I then went and bought a brand name Bear Vault. I bought the Jaunt, I think, the BV 400, 450.
Right.
Somewhere around there. They're not a sponsor, but anyway, I think we have a link on our
website. We do have a link on our website for this one, because you and I now both own one of these.
Both own one. When you first get it, it is difficult to open. You have to figure out the trick, and as you open it, it gets easier. But
okay,
it's not. It won't be easy enough that a bear can do it.
By figure out the trick, what Mike is actually saying is read the instructions on how to open it. Because Mike, like a typical man, threw away his instructions and didn't read them.
I didn't throw them away. I just set them aside.
Okay, but I read the actual instructions. Turns out there is a trick to it, and if you know the trick, it's pretty easy to open. It's not so easy that a bear could get into it, but like if you're a human with opposable thumbs, you can get into it pretty easy.
Yeah, well, okay.
Seems highly effective. Kind of love it. Like, super great.
Yeah.
Seems indestructible. Well,
so let's go back like two or three episodes when we were talking about the bear canister when I first took it. And maybe this is on the Forever Lost episode, but we had both been under the assumption that a bear canister or a food canister of whatever sorts was only to hold your food.
Yes. Yes.
you're not throwing your shoes or your dirty socks or whatever in there, but like it can hold. Like, okay, so, like, you put your food in there, you put your utensils, like, whatever else you got in there, and then you're like, well, shit, I still got some room in there. Like, oh, well, I have my gas canister, I have my cook pot, I have my, like, that can all go in there. It's taking up the same amount of space regardless of what you put in it.
Okay, but even on top of that, me, just looking at pictures on the internet, because that's the only place I had seen them. I had never seen one in real life. Mm-hmm. Just looking at pictures on the internet, I'm looking at these bear canisters and I'm thinking, that's not going to fit in my pack. They look big. They look really big. They look like
you
they're
don't
not
do
gonna
your
fit.
YouTube's research.
I'm not such a YouTube guy. Like I YouTube about like some things, but this one I never YouTube.
Well, I've mentioned in the past that I follow some backpackers and whatnot on YouTube and all this stuff. So a few of them use the bear vault and like different bear canisters and all that stuff. So,
but anyway, so like I had seen pictures of these and I'm thinking like, it's this big cylinder. I don't feel like it's going to fit in my pack. Turns out now that I own one, turns out they easily fit in your pack. I don't want to say easily, but like they're like a good size to fit in your backpack.
It turns out they're made for that.
Right, exactly. Okay. So probably some engineer somewhere once upon a time was like, how big are backpacks? Like, let's make this fit in there.
Most backpacks are this size. Right. We're going to make it this size.
So I worried about that. And here's the other thing that I worried about before owning one is I worried that even with it fitting in the backpack, it looked like big and bulky where it would make my backpack uncomfortable to have on my back.
That's what I was worried about.
Turns out not an issue.
But you have an external frame.
We have an external frame. There's a frame that fits all up and down your back.
Yep.
This bear canister, don't puncture that in any way.
Right. Oh, no.
Turns out you don't really even know. I mean, other than your pack, maybe like you got to shift where you pack stuff in it, but like it fits in there just fine. Well, it's not an issue. The things that I was worried about with being an issue with the bear vault, turns out none of them are actually an issue.
Right. Right. And so you mentioned a good thing is that you might have to shift where you pack stuff.
Yep.
With it. That's with everything you buy. Anything new you buy for camping, like our sleep pad used to be super tiny. I had a special spot for it, like at the very last when I threw it in the pack because it was so small. Now it's like one of the first things I throw in there because it's a little bit big and quite a bit bigger.
Yeah.
So everything you buy is going to rearrange how you pack your pack. So I know we just did the episode like 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago about
how to pack your pack.
Yeah. I think we even mentioned that is like it changes every damn time.
Yeah.
Like, but you try to keep your zones and all that kind of stuff, but it always changes because this piece of gear is going to be heavier and a different size than what you bought. Hopefully it's smaller and lighter than what you used to use. Not always.
Not always. I mean, hopefully it's at least lighter. Which, I mean, we just set our sleeping pads not lighter than our old ones.
Not lighter.
Worth the weight. So, but, yeah, I mean, Bear Vault, gotta tell you, like, this, it is so much easier to use a Bear Vault than...
It's almost a game changer. Like, so you got your food packed in there, and, like, you can just throw all their shit in there.
Yeah.
Just...
And you don't got to find a tree to throw a rope up over.
Right.
You don't got to get out 12 feet on a branch. You don't got to hoist the stuff up. Like, honestly, probably the way we should have went from the beginning. In hindsight.
Probably. Yep.
Really is that good. Now, here's the only thing. A bear could still walk away with your bear canister. But a bear could walk away with your bear bag, too, even if you've hung it up in the tree and done all the things.
Well, and a bear can probably get into your bear bag.
Well, the ones that we have, for sure. But
they make, most bear bags,
ones.
Well, yeah. Have you... Okay. You don't follow the things that I follow. There are definitely videos on the TikToks and the YouTubes of like bears that have clearly gotten into bear bags, like even the rip proof ones. Okay. Like,
I would imagine if I searched hard enough, I probably could find a video of a bear getting into this bear vault that we have right now.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it's a lot harder. Yeah. I'm just saying, like.
But anyway,
our bear bags, we hunt, okay, so far 100% successful with our food and our bear bags, bear vaults, whatever.
Yep.
So far, not trying to jinx it. we're following what we need to follow to do what we need to do, but we know where we're going, and that last trip, I don't know if we would have walked out of there with all of her food.
Yeah.
You know, with the bear vault or without the bear vault. So I don't know. I'm sold on it.
I'm sold on it too. I am recommending, even though they're not a sponsor, Bear Vault brand.
Right. Yep.
For the 3 to 4 day ones that Mike and I go on, the jaunt size is plenty big. Mm-hmm. We can fit everything in it that we need to. And then some, I'm sold. Like, I can't see going back to a bear bag at this point.
No. No. I don't know why you would at this point. I think it's my turn to choose one.
Yep.
And I'm going to choose my next favorite, which is the saw that was recommended to us by a listener. The Silky F180-100.
It's the F180.
F180. So the shovel that we have is a multi-use shovel, has like different attachments and things like that.
Yep.
Has two or three different saw blades on it. We've tried them all to cut wood, and none of them really worked all that well.
Correct.
So I'm not going to recommend the shovel other than for a shovel.
Oh, it's great for a shovel.
Great for a shovel, maybe a beat stick or a pickaxe or an emergency whistle. It's got all that stuff in there. The saw blades, not so much. Nick recommended this shovel, or the saw, sorry. I bought it and was eager to try it. We had it for the spring trip. And everything we fought or found was just breakable. Didn't need to get the saw out, so didn't get to use it. This last trip, we found big enough stuff to where I was almost regretting trying the saw out, because I was like, if this thing disappoints me, this is a lot of wasted firewood.
Right.
And that thing cut like butter.
Holy crap, it cut like butter.
Cut like butter.
I hate to, like, oversell a saw, right? Because at the end of the day, it's a freaking folding saw.
Right.
This thing was amazing.
Yeah.
We cut so much firewood with this stupid saw.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And,
like, I never would have thought to purchase, like, there's so many different brands out there, different makes. You can get your little collapsible bow saws, yep, and, like, all that kind of stuff.
You can get the little ones that got, like, keyring on the each chainsaws. Little chainsaw ones. Yeah. You can get all those, like, different types of saws or whatever. I don't have any experience with those. Maybe they're great. I don't know. This Silky F-180, there's a link on our website.
This thing, like, dude, I know it sounds like an advertisement for them. Like, they are not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor, and I hate to use the word game changer again, but legit game changer.
Yep.
Like, Mike and I used to, like, we would find, like, quote-unquote big logs, right? You'd find downed wood to bring to your site. It'd be too big to fit into the site, to the fire pit. So we just, like, would burn the end of it and, like, just keep moving the log into the fire bit by bit.
Right.
To, like, keep burning the end. As long as you got the coals
going, and, like, yeah. You had to get enough little shit to get it going.
Which is fine, and it always worked. It was a bit clunky, and then, like, at the end of the night, it's like, okay, if the whole thing's not burnt, what do you do to put it out and all that sort of stuff? With this stupid folding saw that was fairly inexpensive.
I want to say it was less than $30.
You and I were cutting firewood all night long and throwing new quote unquote logs into the fire.
We walked this on our trip where I think we had to walk a mile to get our water to our water source.
Yes, 0.9 miles. Yes.
So on the way to the water source, we pointed out downed firewood that was big enough or small enough to carry back. Like, it was like what we wanted. It wasn't like, it wasn't the shit that's just around the campsite. Cause everybody knows if you've hiked to a camp spot,
all the stuff right next to the camp spot is gone.
Oh yeah. The entire day you're just like, well, there's plenty of firewood here. Like,
right.
Then
3 miles from camp, plenty of firewood.
Yeah, you know you're getting close to camp when you get to like a half mile and there's like no firewood. Like, but so we hiked this mile to get to water, took our water, and I was just like, okay, we're like, there's good firewood. So on our way back, we start picking up these things, and like, I think we both carried back like I'm going to say 10-foot pieces of firewood. Mm-hmm. I mean, they weren't like 8 inches around or anything like that. I mean, at the base, they might have been like four or six inches.
That might even be generous. That
might be generous. We're manly. We can carry that. But so they might have been 4 inches at the base. Yeah. Like, but so we carry these 10-foot things. Like, we never would have done that without that saw.
No, never would have. Nope.
We used the saw the night before just to try it out, and like, we're cutting up a few like these bigger things that we found, and we're like, holy shit, this thing cuts great. So then we're like, opens up our whole realm of possibilities for firewood.
And when Mike says cuts like butter, I mean, A, it's brand new. So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt, because like, we just did buy it. But really does cut like butter. And here's the thing with this saw. So this saw did get bad reviews on some of the Amazon. I think we bought it on Amazon, right? Some of the reviews online had not so great reviews. And the main, as far as I understand it, the main complaint is that the blade itself is quote unquote easy to break.
Yeah, I think technically it's aluminum.
Yeah.
It's lightweight.
It is lightweight, and it is fairly bendy. So, but here's the thing. Like, if you can figure out the trick with this saw, which it's like, so if you push away from you, the saw doesn't cut. If you pull towards you, the saw cuts. So you have to kind of, like, pay attention to how you're cutting the wood, because it's not cut both ways. If the blade is getting pinched or you're putting pressure on it while you're pushing it away from you, I can see where people would break the blade. I really can. So I'm not saying it's not a fair critique of the saw to say that the blade is easy to break, because it probably is fairly easy to break. But if you take your time and let the saw do the work,
right?
Mike and I cut up a lot of wood on this trip. It was amazing. This
turned into Woodshop 101.
It was awesome. Like, and again, I hate to use the word game changer, but literally a game changer while we're out trying to have a fire. Like, we can now cut fire-sized pieces of wood to throw into the fire. Yeah. It was awesome. I loved it. I mean, should have had it from day one.
We bought it. I think I bought it almost a year ago. Originally
as soon as listener Nick recommended it, Mike bought it.
Yep. I bought it and then never got to use it until August, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And instantly fell in love with this
instantly.
And like, so I was nervous about it because of those negative reviews. And I'm like, I'm cutting out and I'm just like, as soon as the blade gets the, it gets the track and you get just like any saw, basically just like any saw on the market. If you let the blade get the track and get going, you feel the way that it's cutting. You just let the saw do the work. It's going to be a great saw.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So yeah, so it was perfect. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah.
Love it. So
yeah. Thank you, Nick. Link on our website. If you want one, I am sure there are probably other brands that have a similar saw.
Silky even has more higher model. Like, I don't know if they're lighter weight, if they're whatever, but they have, and there's other brands out there, obviously too. I think Gerber has one, and
probably
all that.
Stuff. I haven't used any of those, but this one,
nope.
Super this one, good.
Love it. We'll use it. We'll keep you posted because I know you can buy replacement blades, so I'm sure the blade's going to dull over time, like all that kind of stuff, just like anything else. But as we do that, we'll keep you posted and let you know how often we have to this thing breaks down. So
anyhow. Then, speaking of lightweight things, and to go back a step on, like, you know, things that hopefully are smaller and lighter than what you had before. The next thing that I have on my list, Mike and I bought new camp chairs to take. We have mentioned camp chairs before. I was lovingly gifted some off-brand backpacking chairs a couple years ago, which were fine. And Mike and I have used them.
Fine.
We've talked about it before, like on some of our shorter trips, we would take our chairs. The biggest problem with them being they were heavy.
Yeah. They were almost like 4 pounds.
They were like 4 pounds plus. Like, they were four and some change. So, which, I mean, okay, in the real world, 4 pounds not that much. When you're backpacking, 4 pounds kind of a lot.
Right.
Mike and I knew for our most recent trip, we knew at least one night was dispersed camping.
Mm-hmm.
One night we knew we were in a first-come, first-served federal campground that we weren't sure whether it would have anywhere to sit or not sit.
Or whether we were going to get a site and have to keep going.
Or whether we were even going to get a site. So Mike and I made a plan before this trip to try to find something that we could take to sit on, whether that be a stool, whether that be a chair. We kind of went on this hunt to find something to replace these heavy chairs that we had so that we knew we would have a spot to sit when we get to camp. That wasn't the ground or it wasn't a log or a stump or something.
Right.
Mike found some chairs. This is another thing that you and I both have the same piece of gear again, but we got these new camp chairs that are less than 2 pounds.
Yeah, they're. I want to say that the specs on the page was 1.7.
1 pound 7 ounces, I think, is what it said.
Yep.
They are brand name Climate. Again, not a sponsor. Mm-hmm. We do have a link for these on our website. Give me your review, Mike. What do you think? We've used them now.
We've used them now. I think we used them every night we were out there. We did not sit at a picnic table. We used the picnic tables if we had them to cook on, to set our gear on, all that kind of stuff. Didn't use the picnic table to sit on. We set up our chairs.
Here's the endorsement I will give. When Mike and I got done with this last trip, we ended at our campers with our spouses sitting around the campfire that night. Mike got his backpacking chair out to sit around the fire that night.
There were other chairs to choose from. Other people could have gone and got their chairs. We had a campfire full of people, and the last chair that I thought of, not the, the last chair that I thought of, the first chair I thought of was, I just been yelling, I know what chair I got a chair. Like, I can go sit on this thing. So I just got this out, and they're like, you sit on that? And like, oh, yeah, I was a little bit lower than everybody else, because it's a backpacking chair. It's not the biggest chair in the world. But they're like, you're going to sit up? And I'm like, yeah, this thing's actually comfortable. Like, I don't mind it
for the last, like, 3 days. I can sit on it for another night.
Like, I'm not above this chair. Like, this chair is my chair. So, and it became my chair, like, the last 3 nights. So, like, what's one more? Did I have armrests? No. Did I have a drink holder? No. But I was comfortable, and I had places to put things. I don't know.
They're like, pretty nice. So, like, they're all like shock cord, like your tent poles are. Like you said, they're like 1 pound 7 ounces. They come in their own fairly weatherproof bag that straps to the outside of your pack pretty nicely.
I mean, they stay dry through the rain underneath our rain powder or flies or whatever.
The back to the chair is higher than our other chairs were. It's not super high. Yeah. But, like, it's high enough that you can lean back and it doesn't feel uncomfortable. The other thing that I really like about them is they have these, like, rubber feet on them that are larger. Mm-hmm. So they don't sink into the ground. So, like, we were on sand at some point. We were on loose dirt at one point. The larger feet on these chairs don't sink into the ground as bad. So they don't, like, topple over. Highly recommend. Super comfortable, lightweight enough.
Love it.
No regrets on that purchase. Not super cheap, not expensive.
Not super cheap, not super expensive, but I will say this. I was doing a lot of looking, knowing that we were coming up on that trip. And I still, because of all of my looking, I get emails from certain websites and things like that. They're like, oh, we found what you're looking for and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, ultra lightweight camp chair. And I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued. I stole it. I looked at one today and they're like, ultra lightweight camp chair, 3.2 ounces or three pounds, not 3.2 ounces, 3 pounds, 2 ounces.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's still double what I have.
We have. Like, these are pretty light, like, for what they are.
I'm like, that's not ultra light. So if that's ultra light, then we got is like mega light or whatever. Right. Like, I don't know. Like, it's light enough, it's comfortable enough, and it is, I mean, it's teal, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, the color I don't love, but whatever. I mean, it was cheap. It was on sale, whatever. Yeah. Now, so, the only thing that I can't say, I don't know the longevity of it.
Well, right.
So, you know, we've only used it for one trip.
Yep.
But we used it every day for one trip.
I will say this, though. It is the same brand of the blow-up sleep pad that we have.
And their warranty was pretty good on that.
And their warranties are good. I'm not the sleep pad. I'm sorry, the sit pad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, it, like, our now our seating arrangements are by the same company.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, one trip in, 1 4-day trip through cold weather and rain and kind of a lot of miserable. I'm recommending this chair. Minus that, I don't know the longevity of it. Like, it's
right.
Couldn't be happier with how comfortable it is. Like, it's not a lazy boy, but, you know, but it's pretty nice. And
it's better than a log.
It's better than a log, you know, if you can find a spot to prop your feet up. I'm pretty happy with it. Like, I, for the money, I'm recommending it.
Yep. Yeah, it wasn't that, it was, I want to say less than $50 a piece.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, that was on clearance. I don't know if they make this model, they're blowing them out. I wanted an orange one. They were out of orange ones. So they might be out of them. But next year's model, probably just as good or better.
Yeah.
Even if they're $70, I would recommend them.
Yeah, for sure.
So. So the next one I'm going to go with is something that's probably near and dear to your heart, especially recently. The first trip this year we took. I had a new bear canister, and it broke my water bladder.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
So it broke my water bladder because I didn't pack things thinking that plastic was going to rub on things and pull on things and all that stuff. So the handle, plastic handle on my water bladder broke. So I was able to rig it up to get me back, but
I don't even know if I would call it a handle. It's like the plastic hanging hook.
It was a hook, yeah, on that one. So I bought a new one. I don't know the brand. We have the link on our site. I saw that. But it is, instead of the... I don't know, blue, the water blue color. It's like an army green color, whatever. I really, really like this one because it has the vinyl hooks and the plastic hooks that you can put your, and it's got it in the three different locations. Every pack is different. Some of them have the two on the outside. Some of them have the one in the middle. This one has the three hooks or three openings on each side, or not on each side, but like in every position. You can hook it between the vinyl and the plastic. It gives it that extra reinforcement if something were to crack, break, whatever. I really do like that. The only downside on this one that I found is that it has a push-pull valve on the bite rather than the open-close. Like our old one, you had like a physical open-close valve. This one is a push-pull. So like you bite onto it and you pull it, it opens the valve. It allows for a lot more water. I drained my water, not knowing this, the first day I drained my water very, very quickly. Because I'm used to having to like suck really hard to get my water out.
Yeah.
And that might have been because my bag was pinched. I don't know. But so found I go through water a little bit. It's not that I need to go through the water that much quickly. It's that it's easier to get to. So
the new one that you bought is, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this name correctly, but it's Lanny or Laney. Is the new one that you bought?
Yes.
And I don't mean to cut you off, and I don't mean to overspeak you, but like, if water bladder is a water bladder, realistically, like it's a freaking vinyl sack that you're sticking into your bag or your pass. Yes. Depending on the type of attachment within your backpack for the water bladder. So Mike and I, again, one of these things that Mike and I have the same thing of, like we had the same water bladder before. Yep. Mike's old water bladder, the one that quote unquote broke, is the one I am still using. And I really like it. And it's some off name brand, whatever. Mine broke in the same spot. Well, it did break in the same spot. So,
yeah.
The clip at the top, the little plastic hook at the top broke. I now have it rigged up MacGyver style. With a, which I don't disagree. I shouldn't have to do, right? Like I bought this thing.
Right,
it is made to go in my backpack. Yeah. I shouldn't have to rig it up in some way. The bladder itself is fine. The hose right. itself is fine. The drinking mechanism is fine. It is simply the hook at the top that broke. So I have it rigged up with essentially some zip ties so that it still works.
Yep.
Mike bought a new bladder, which is not wrong. You are not wrong to buy a new one because you're paying all this money for something that should hook into the things the way it should hook into. And the hookup mechanism for the hanging of the bladder of this new brand, this Lanny brand that you brought, I don't disagree. Way better than the one, the off-brand one that I have. Way better, super nice. I don't know if I'm ready to replace mine just because the hanging mechanism broke when I can rig it up in a way. It's a personal preference thing. I'm not saying you're right and I'm wrong. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm right and you're wrong. Yeah.
No, I still have the old bladder. I didn't throw the old bladder away. I just wanted something that I could just clip into my pack and be done with
it. And you're right. Like so, when I go to fill mine up again, I'm going to have to cut my zip ties. I'm going to have to take it out, fill it up, put it back in, use some new zip ties, hang it back up. Hopefully that don't break. Like, I get it. I get where you're coming from. You're not wrong. It should just clip in there and work.
Well, I refill my bladder more on the trail than you do, too.
You absolutely do. So, 100% you do.
So I need more access to get mine out. So, like, I can unclip my straw. I can pull my pack out or my bladder out, go fill it up. And
you sweat a lot more than I do. You consume a lot more water than I do. I am probably dehydrated. Like, I'm not saying I'm doing it right. I'm probably dehydrated. But I just don't go through as much water as you do.
So all I'm saying is I like that bladder for the options of where you can hang it from. It has the quick release straw. It's got the it comes with an insulated straw. I don't know if I can take or leave the insulated straw. The bite thing, it takes some getting used to. It leaked on me for a little bit because I wasn't used to having to put it back. So get used to whatever. By the end of the trip, it was working perfect for me. Loved the thing. You do you. I don't know. Like I was really in love with the shut off valve of the old one. I kept that straw. So I don't know. We'll see. I've got the whole other kit, but yeah. So
yeah.
But yeah. So the water bladder. Check it out. It's on our website. So go look at it if you're intrigued to get a new bladder.
So then the next thing that I wanted to go over for new gear that I have. I've mentioned it in previous episodes. We had not actually gotten to use it until very recently. I got the Thermacell insect repellent that hooks onto our cook stove fuel.
Yep.
I don't know. There's not much to say about it. It works. End of the day, it works. It's a Thermacell. It's awesome.
If you've used Thermacell
before, it's exactly what you expect out of Thermacell. Again, not a sponsor.
Yeah. The only downside I would say is that like you either have to take more fuel or you have to take more fuel.
That's the downside. Is you got to take enough fuel to use it. I don't have a way of measuring how much fuel it's using, but I cannot imagine it uses very much.
I can't gauge how much fuel we use regardless because I'm still waiting to run out. Like, we've been using the same damn fuel for 4 years. So,
right, exactly. I mean, for anybody that's used Thermacell, you know, normally you have those little butane cartridges that you put in there. They last a long time. It uses this tiny little pilot flame to heat the repellent pad up. I can't imagine it's using very much. I don't have a way to measure it, so I can't say for certain.
Right.
But I will say when the mosquitoes are bad and we plug it in and use it, it seems to work. And I'm one of those people that the mosquitoes love me. I've mentioned that before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it seems to work. I don't know. I don't know what they put in there, but it seems to work. So it is a specific one. This thermocell, it's not one of the ones you clip to your belt. It's not one of the ones that you get that's rechargeable. This one is a specific one that goes onto your camp fuel canisters. It's made to thread right onto those. It's got the little blue pads that you put into the top. You hook all that up. You make a little contraption out of it. You turn it on. There's a little button that you use to light the flame. Once it's lit, it works just like the thermocell that you may or may not already be used to. It heats the pad up, fights the mosquitoes away. You're good to go. It comes with a little pouch because, again, as anybody knows that's ever used a thermocell where you put the little pad, once those get heated up, they kind of get gunky and get all like the fuzz and stuff from the atmosphere that sticks to it because it must get sticky in some way. So, but it does come with a little sleeve that you put that into so you can put it back into your pack and it's not getting all your stuff dirty. Really can't say enough nice things about it. We got turned on to it from another guy that we ran into that was out on the trail. I think it was a year ago in Pictured Rocks that we ran into that guy.
I believe you're right.
He had one. Couldn't say enough nice things about it. I didn't even know they existed. Mm-hmm. You, Mike, didn't even know they existed. So we're like, well, fuck it. Let's try one. So we got one. I actually got one as a gift from my parents. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Love it. Really can't say enough nice things about it.
Yeah, it's come in handy when the bugs are really, really bad. So I don't know. Like I think we use some other options just to get away from using the fuel.
Well, we talked in our insect repellent episode. We talked about how we take our little incense burner things, little off coils or whatever,
right?
And we'll use those if the bugs are not too bad. Which I still agree with. I'm not saying not to use those because I still agree that those, if things are just like a little bit annoying but not too bad, those work just fine. But like when things get beyond the capability of those off coils, that's where we kick into like thermocell mode, get that out. I'm a big believer in thermocell. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what chemicals they have in their stuff. Whatever they got in there is working.
Right, yeah, for sure. So, I guess on the same sense of the insect things and repellents, why don't you go ahead and I'm done with my new gear.
So, okay.
I have it on my notes that we wanted to make sure to talk about this, your insect shield pants.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. My insect pants. Okay. So I bought, we talked in our bug repellent episode about, what's the stuff called? Permethrin, right?
Permethrin, I believe it is.
So we recommended at the time this Sawyer treatment. It's a spray-on treatment for your clothes. And I was sold on it. This last trip, I'm like, you know what? I wonder how the infused clothing works. So before we went on this last trip, I did some research, and I bought a pair of pants that are permethrin infused. The brand name for these pants, again, not a sponsor, the brand name is Insect Shield, okay? So they do whatever the method is to infuse the permethrin into the fabric. It's not a spray-on treatment. It's an infusion treatment. I'm not a scientist.
It's supposed to last like
70 washes.
Months or 70 washes.
70 Jesus. Washes. The pants on the inside of like one of the front pockets has a little like checkmark grid so that you can mark off how many times you have washed these pants.
Have you done that?
I have. You put a little Sharpie on it. You like dot the little thing. Okay. You mark how many times you've washed them. I added an extra one because it rained super hard one day that I was wearing them. So I added an extra dot. Okay. I'm not sure if I was supposed to or not, but I did. I got to tell you, I'm sold on these pants. They were expensive.
Okay.
As far as pants go, they were expensive.
Define expensive, though. Like, there's people that spend like $200-$300 on jeans, so.
Oh, yeah, no, they weren't that. I want to say they are $85.
Okay, so they were two pairs of my jeans.
I mean, I buy my stuff at Meijer, and my jeans are usually $20 a pair, so.
Oh.
They're like four pair, as far as I'm concerned.
Aren't jeans normally like $40 a pair now?
I don't know.
I'm usually at Target.
Oh, no. Like,
I don't know.
I buy mine are Levi's, and they're at Meijer, and they're $20 a pair.
Yeah. When's the last time you bought jeans? I don't think they're that price anymore.
I just bought some. They were on sale.
Bullshit. Okay, anyway.
Side conversation. But anyway, so I bought these Insect Shield brand name permethrin-infused pants. They have various styles, so I just, like, picked one and went with it. Mm-hmm. No ticks. No ticks. No spots for bugs to get in. Comfortable to hike in. Just like they're like rip resistant. I really liked them. I gotta tell you.
So let me say this. On this last trip, though, I also had no ticks. But I did. This was the first trip that I had my permethrin spray on my pants. The thing I really like about the pants that you are wearing, and not saying you can't do this without getting the Insect Shield or whatever, we've been talking about it anyway. All of our hiking pants have been convertible pants with air quotes, right. To where if it's too hot out, you can zip off the legs and just turn them into shorts.
Right.
And they're just cargo shorts at that point. I would love to get the convertible without the cargo, or deal with what you're dealing with, because dealing with the amount of ticks we have in the past, you find them in all of those folds.
Correct.
All of those
folds. All of the folds. So, like, yep.
Where it covers up the zipper on your knee, that you find ticks in there. Where your little flap is for one of your cargo pockets, there's ticks in there, depending on how you do your duct tape situation we talked about. Yep. Like, you'll find ticks. Like, so those were not convertibles.
They're not. And here's why I went with not convertible. I mean, all the things that you've said, absolutely I agree with. Yeah. Every fold of fabric is another place for a tick to hide or bugs to hide or whatever. My general rule of thumb, and somebody tell me if I'm wrong, but like at the end of the day, so we got the zip-off convertible pants, right? Because like, oh, I might get to camp and then I might want to wear shorts because I've been hiking all day and I'm too hot. I don't think anybody is going to pull me aside and accuse me of having like some indecent exposure for walking around in my underwear if I'm that hot.
Well, if you're in your underwear, it's not indecent exposure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I got undergarments on.
Right.
When I get to camp, if it is that hot that I need to be in convertible pants, if I just take my pants off and I'm just in my underwear, chances are we're not going to see anybody else regardless.
Look, if they're out there and they haven't seen Naked and Afraid, that's on them.
That's on them. Exactly. So, I agree. You also did not have any ticks on you. You did not have Insect Shield brand pants on, but you did have permethrin treated pants on.
I did have permethrin treated pants on. But at the same time, I really liked the pants. You liked the pants, but I felt more, I'm not going to say it, like I'll say less secure. I'm not going to say I was insecure.
Yeah.
I felt less secure about it. Like, being that I had all the folds.
Yeah.
And everything. I really do want to take, I think I might get rid of my convertible pants.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I liked the idea.
Like, I have yet to find the desire to hike in shorts. I see people do it all the time.
I'm not ready for that. Ready for it. I'm just not.
Just seeing where ticks can get when you're wearing pants, if you got looser shorts on or nothing, then they can get wherever they want. So, anywho. But, yeah, so there's one other thing I wanted to bring up, and you mentioned it, but I think it's a good thing to bring up, is the first aid kit
updates. Oh, I forgot about that. Thank you for the reminder on that. Yes. Not necessarily a gear update. Mike and I have talked about right. it in the first aid kit episode. Like, I am the keeper of the first aid kit. This is not necessarily a gear update. I have not found any new breaking science, new things to, you know what I mean? Like, it's
Sean's carrying things out on the trail.
Right. Like, I'm not taking, like, there's not some new miracle drug that I'm taking out on the trail. However, I feel like this is a good point to say, while you are updating your gear, also update your first aid kit, because stuff has expiration dates. We,
for sure,
I once a year go through the medication that I keep in our first aid kit. What is expired? What do I need to throw out? And what do I need to replace? So it's not, it's new in that it's fresh, but it's the same stuff that we recommended before. Yep. So if you want to know what we keep in our first aid kit, listen to our first aid episode.
Yep.
But as a friendly reminder, that stuff does expire at some point. So make sure that you are keeping up to date and keeping new stuff in your pack for that. So thank you for the reminder of that, Mike. That's a fairly important one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I appreciate you keeping up on that. We've talked in the past how, like, you carry certain things and I carry certain things. So, like, I make sure we have enough gas to go
right
for our food and everything. You make sure we have non-expired right. medicine.
And for the most part, we've never needed the medicine that we take. But if we were to need it, I don't want it to be expired. Right. So,
well, it says here expired 2 years ago. So maybe take 6. Like, I don't know.
Right. Exactly.
So, but that's the thing. So, make sure that if you have, I mean, just like, I don't know, if you started hiking 40 years ago and your backpack's been sitting there.
Right.
Make sure your MREs are still good. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Your MREs are probably still good. Your Benadryl might not be. So, you know, get the right stuff.
Yeah, that was the last on my list. I know this went a little longer than most of our episodes, but we're excited for a lot of our updates and happy to talk about them for certain reasons.
Exactly. And if anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns about any of the gear that we've talked about upgrading, you like or dislike any of the stuff we've talked about, I'd love to hear pros and cons for any of it. Or if you have other gear that you think we should upgrade, feel free to reach out. You can reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. We're on all the major socials at seanmikehike. You can reach us through our website, which is seanmikehike.com. Any of those places, feel free to reach out. We'd love to have your feedback. As always, if you found this episode or any of our episodes helpful, please rate, review, and subscribe, or share with a friend. We'd love to get the word out about this podcast. And until next time, I guess the last thing that I have to say to you, Mike, is go take a hike.
Yeah, go take a hike. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
We'll see you guys. Thank you.